Good afternoon. It is Wednesday, September 14th. This is the 2 p.m. session of the Portland City Council. We'll return from recess. Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Adams?
The mayor is out of town on city business, so I'm presiding today. Please read the title for item 974.
Adopt Connecting to Our Future, Portland's Broadband Strategic Plan, and direct the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management to develop a work plan for implementation.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Madam President. It was a little over a year ago that City Council approved Resolution 36816 that directed the creation of a broadband strategic plan for Portland. I'd like to thank my colleague, Commissioner Fritz, for introducing this resolution and co-sponsoring the plan before us today. Over this past year, each of the council offices has led work group teams that shepherded this plan through a lengthy process that involved over 50 participants. Immediately prior to this hearing, I was handing out certificates of recognition to many of those 50 participants, but it truly is remarkable the diversity of people that helped put together the plan before us today. Connecting to Our Future represents Portland's recognition that leadership in the adoption of broadband technologies will benefit the city of Portland in enhancing public safety, economic opportunities, engagement of the public, education, and in meeting our urban planning and sustainability goals. This plan represents some of the most in-depth analysis of addressing these issues via broadband technologies of any major city in the United States. The strategies in this plan will serve as a roadmap to a more detailed work plan that will come back to the council with specific action items this spring. So I'd also like to thank the council for their participation in the work session we had on the draft plan, which was last month. And we will be planning on an ongoing dialogue with the public and the industry, and as this work plan and action items are being refined. So as with other successful planning efforts, this will require ongoing input and collaboration in its implementation. So I'd now like to turn it over to my chief of staff, and as I just referred to him a minute ago at the ceremony, the chief enthusiast for the broadband strategic plan as well, Brendan Finn.
Thank you, Commissioner. For the record, Brendan Finn, Commissioner Saltzman's office. Madam President, members of the council, as the commissioner alluded to, we did go through kind of an in-depth analysis of the plan in the work session that we had on July 26th. So in consideration of that, we'll keep the presentation very short for you this afternoon. But we are going to continue, as Commissioner Saltzman stated, to engage the public and industry as we move forward to the work plan and the implementation stages, which we're asking for your support for today. Those tuning in that want to catch up on where we are today, the work sessions and all the work that we've done to date are available on our website, portlandonline.com/cable. I'd like to highlight one part of this effort that is analogous to one of our policies and actions that we've done to encourage green building in the city of Portland, which started with the city taking actions within its own operations and functions and business practices. These actions proved to be catalytic in driving forward demand and enhancing our national reputation as leaders in that industry. I'd also like to point out that this has been done on parallel with some other efforts led by Commissioner Leonard, especially as it referred to biodiesel production and, of course, the Portland Loos. The plan before you today directs the city to work closely with industry and stakeholders on implementation, particularly as it pertains to the city's adoption of technologies that will assist in our efforts to function more efficiently as a government. An example of that, a good example, that we will explore similar opportunities to is the upcoming Information Technology and Advancement Project within the Bureau of Development Services. This project, among other functions, will digitize a land use review and building permit process, having the potential to save us on operating expenses, but also meet our sustainability goals as they pertain to waste reduction and vehicle miles traveled. Identifying such opportunities within city government is just one of the components of the plan. The work plan will also address how technology can help sustain our goals around livability and equity issues, as well as policies to facilitate further provision of enhanced broadband infrastructure in planned districts. You'll hear a little bit more about that. This strategic approach may be considered overly methodical. That's because it is. As Commissioner Saltzman stated, this is one of the first of its kinds efforts in the United States. It will surely be replicated as technologies associated with the internet continue to change the way our society communicates, creates, and connects. In a moment, I'll turn it over to Mary Beth Henry, who is the Deputy Director of the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management, and has also been the project manager for this plan. We'll see a very brief video that'll be 3 minutes. Then we will also hear from Casey Jama, the Executive Director of the Center for Intercultural Organizing, excuse me. He'll be followed by Skip Newberry from the mayor's office, who's been integral to this plan. And at this point, I'd like to thank Skip for all the work that he's done over the years in the mayor's office. We're going to be losing him, but we're going to be continuing to work with him on this plan as he becomes the incoming president of the Software Association of Oregon. Then we'll also have Miles Ellenbeef, the director of pediatric telemedicine at OHSU, Leslie Reister, the Chief Information Officer at Portland Community College, and then we do have three industry representatives here, Mark Favar from Comcast, Chris Desden from CenturyLink, and Steve Anderson from Integra Telecom. So thank you, and I'll turn it over to Mary Beth.
Thanks, Brendan. Madam President, Commissioners, Portland's new broadband strategic plan provides a roadmap for this city and its people to compete and succeed in the emerging and increasingly global digital economy. It's a plan to literally broaden Portland's bandwidth, to expand our capacity to achieve our shared goals of equity, livability, and prosperity. It's a strategy that defines how we can best use the assets we influence and control in order to spur innovation, competition, and investment. How to partner with homegrown and national providers in order to better achieve local priorities. Many of the building blocks for this strategy are already in place. We have a software community poised to develop novel applications with potential to be transformational. We have established partners willing to help increase internet adoption, to bridge the digital divide, and align our many wireline and wireless networks. What's new, what this broadband strategic plan provides, is focus. Focus on our most urgent priorities, what steps we must take, and how we can all work together. The city, our businesses, researchers, nonprofits, educators, developers, users, and our telecom providers. The famous computer scientist Alan Kay once said, "The best way to predict the future is to invent it yourself." And that's what this new strategy is meant to do, to connect us to our future, the future Portland needs. You've already heard about how the plan was community-sourced with 50 citizen volunteers, and how we then engaged the community, businesses, and providers to get feedback. In all of this, we recognized our most important resources are both our existing partnerships and the new partnerships we must now create. Partnerships within and among city bureaus, K-12 schools, higher education, other local public entities like TriMet, Metro, and Multnomah County, other cities in our region, but also, and equally important, the small and large businesses of Portland, the nonprofits, and the providers. We must work together on job creation, workforce readiness, and continuing Portland's culture of innovation. We need to do everything possible to help the one in every five Portland households who are not online get online. We need to help them understand that the value of being online has become essential. And then we intend to lead by example, to increasingly use broadband tools to deliver civic services to our citizens and to keep Portland livable, sustainable, and green. Finally, we are going to make a special effort to help small businesses use broadband to grow. Something this strategic plan makes clear is that bringing better broadband to small businesses and home businesses will make it possible for everyone in Portland to have the ability to work anywhere at any time. And to kick off today's program, I have the short video, Jobs and Broadband.
Although it's going to be a tough act to follow because that Travel Portland presentation was pretty good this morning.
We need jobs here in Portland, and that's why we need broadband, because it is broadband, wired and wireless, that provides a foundation for creating jobs, finding jobs, and doing jobs. Today, 62% of American workers depend on the internet to do their jobs. But in Portland, up to 60% of black men aged 18 to 34 don't have a job. And what we're beginning to understand is that in order to change that...
again, and hopefully get the video up. Well, that was Lou Frederick's voice in the background. And there is Lou Frederick right there.
Let's start it
over. All right, we will start it again.
We need jobs here in Portland. And that's why we need broadband. Because it is broadband, wired and wireless, that provides a foundation for creating jobs, finding jobs, and doing jobs. Today, 62% of American workers depend on the internet to do their jobs. But in Portland, up to 60% of black men aged 18 to 34 don't have a job. And what we're beginning to understand is that in order to change that, we're going to need better access to broadband. Last year in North Portland, we had a job fair. 1,200 jobs were up for grabs. A lot of the folks in my district never heard about it. Why? Because you have to be online to find jobs, online to apply for jobs, with an electronic resume. And if you don't have online, you are in trouble. And a lot of folks in Portland are in trouble. They don't have equity. They don't have easy access to broadband. They don't even know about it. That's why Portland has been developing a new strategic plan for broadband. And what's the number one goal? Generating new jobs for Portland. The Federal Bureau of Labor Statistics says jobs that involve using broadband internet will grow 25% by 2018. 2.5 times faster than other jobs. Which explains the second goal of Portland's broadband strategy. To eliminate the gaps in equity, access, and capacity. Today, our focus seems to be supplying broadband to businesses, early adopters, and startups, which is good. But not to the exclusion of other Portlanders. It's time to start focusing on all our communities, especially the 28% who need broadband but do not have it. We want abundant, affordable broadband in every neighborhood, in every household. Because remember, Portland has more small businesses, many of them home-based businesses, than any other city in the U.S. It used to be waterways and roads were the critical infrastructure cities and economies needed to grow. Now it's computing and communications. Broadband, fiber, and wireless that drives economic development. We can't attract new businesses and jobs to Portland without abundant broadband for global connectivity. Plus, companies want educated, internet-savvy, broadband-empowered workers who know how to embrace change. So education is part of the job story, too. And so is bandwidth to improve healthcare, with services like online health records and real-time monitoring of patients. So is public safety and city sensor nets for sustainability, better transport. All of that requires better, faster, more ubiquitous broadband than we have now. And that's why we're asking you to take a look at Portland's Broadband Strategic Plan. This is not just about jobs today. It's about assuring more jobs and better jobs tomorrow. It's about connecting to our future. Portland's Broadband Strategic Plan.
Well, great. We got over our technical difficulties. I'd like to thank the talented staff at Portland Community Media for helping us put together that video. And now we're going to call up Casey Jama, Skip Newberry, Miles Ellenby, and Leslie Reister, please. Looks like we're ready for four.
Skip, why don't you start?
Sure. Skip Newberry with the Mayor's Office. Commissioners and especially Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Saltzman, I just want to say thank you for leading this process to its conclusion here today. There's obviously much more work that needs to be done, but a lot of work has already gone into it to get us here today. I'll start with a quick little anecdote that I think underscores the importance of the work that's going on. On Monday, I had an opportunity in the evening to talk to a couple of software CEOs locally. They're not by any means the largest software companies in the area, but they're growing, and you know, to a large extent. The two CEOs mentioned that between the two of them, they have 60 job openings currently right now that they're looking to fill, and there are many others like them locally here. So, I mean, what that really underscores is that as these high growth companies continue to scale, they need the broadband infrastructure to scale with them. Similarly, from a workforce standpoint, as they're looking to hire more people, we need adequate infrastructure that's deployed and scalable, and it's done so in an equitable way across Portland so that we can provide greater opportunities to people locally to help fill those positions. I served on the Economic Development Subcommittee for the broadband planning process, and we looked at a number of different sort of components that we thought were important. We looked at sort of a market-driven approach as sort of the umbrella that we would use to approach the recommendations that we were going to make to council. And we decided that one of the areas should be a focus on neighborhood hubs, focusing on small businesses, home-based businesses. How can we, in a strategic way, provide resources in a limited way to start, but then gradually growing it in a way to leverage existing resources and assets like libraries, schools, community centers, and areas that are kind of consistent with the 20-minute neighborhood framework is articulated in the Portland plan. We also looked at how could we build strategic infrastructure ahead of time, maybe a little bit ahead of demand. And so we looked at, you know, key development opportunities that the Portland Development Commission is looking at around the city, where you already have either a natural clustering of firms that are heavily reliant on broadband, or where there are opportunities consistent with the economic development strategy to talk to tenants and get them all in a single location, so that then it's easier for the broadband providers to be able to assess what the demand is for ultra-high-speed broadband. The thought is that those clusters would then create sort of a spidering effect outward. We're also looking at you know, institutional players like OHSU and the research universities here, PSU, and some of their demands in processing lots of data. And there could be great opportunities there to look at, for example, data centers and the broadband infrastructure that goes into the processing of large amounts of data, whether you're talking about climate change or whether you're talking about genomic cancer research. And so these are all opportunities that I think could be pursued in the short, medium, and long term. We also didn't rule out the possibility of looking at the importance of home-based businesses and providing fiber to the home, maybe in a limited pilot project at some point down the road. Again, there needs to be more data there that's developed over time. So with that, thank you again for allowing me to participate, and I found the process to be both rewarding and enjoyable. Thanks.
Leslie?
Madam President, Commissioners, my name is Leslie Reister. and I am the Chief Information Officer and Associate Vice President of Technology Solution Services for Portland Community College. While my remarks are based on my experience at the largest institution of higher education in the state, the issues are applicable to all educational institutions from kindergarten through graduate school. Why are we interested in a broadband strategic plan for Portland? Our mission statement says it all. Portland Community College advances the region's long-term vitality by delivering accessible, quality education to support the academic, professional, and personal development of the diverse students and communities we serve. We view affordability and online access as critical elements of accessibility. Last year, more than 94,000 students took credits classes from PCC. On any given day, 30 to 50,000 students access MyPCC, our online portal. Everything we do depends on access to reliable, high-speed networks. We teach thousands of classes every year, and every one of them has some element that requires access to digital content. Our official communication channel is online, and all of our business processes are online. Students who do not have access to reliable, affordable broadband at home are limited by their access to our on-campus open computer labs. Even if we could afford to keep those labs open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, we wouldn't meet the needs of the majority of our students, who are working adults with families, who are doing their homework at home after the kids have gone to bed. I know this is true for many Portland State students as well, since PSU is primarily a commuter campus. I think the same holds true for K-12 students. It's called homework because that's where you do it, right? Additionally, we had almost 54,000 enrollments in distance education courses last year, and we are trying to increase that number. Sustainability initiatives are high on our list, and we see the ability of students and staff to work from home as critical to meet our sustainability goals. I could talk for a long time about how education now depends so heavily on digital access to information and how our students are falling further and further behind the rest of the world because of limited access to affordable broadband. Since my time is limited, I'll just say that adopting the proposed broadband strategic plan would be a step in the right direction. In closing, I'd like to report that PCC has served more than 1.3 million people in the past 50 years, and at the rate our enrollment is growing, we will hit 2 million in the next 7 years. I hope the issue of affordable access to broadband will be solved by then. Thank you.
Madam President, Commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to share my thoughts. I'm Dr. Miles Ellenby. I work at OHSU's Dornbecker Children's Hospital in the Pediatric Intensive Care Unit. I also serve as the medical director for the university's new and rapidly growing telemedicine program. We currently provide psychiatric, emergent stroke, trauma, pediatric and neonatal intensive care, telemedicine consults, and various combinations to 12 hospitals and clinics around the state of Oregon, some in very rural settings, but also right here in Portland to Adventist Medical Center. This happens via real-time video conferencing, assisting on-site emergency providers with immediate specialist involvement when caring for a critically ill patient. The benefits of face-to-face communication allow for superior data exchange as compared to the old standard of telephone only. We would all agree that a picture is worth a thousand words, but in moments of severe critical illness, live interactive video is priceless. Additionally, OHSU is starting pilot projects in outpatient telemedicine for those who have limited access to care based on geography or limited mobility, as well as exploring opportunities in remote in-place monitoring via an ever-expanding array of broadband-enabled devices. These technologies allow those with chronic conditions to be better monitored. Healthcare is facing a growing global aging problem as the baby boom hits retirement age. These seniors will want to live as independently as is safely possible. Envision a future where that is increasingly possible through in-place monitoring. Finally, OHSU has been at the forefront of health IT and in the implementation of the electronic health record. The broad areas that I've touched on, acute and chronic care video consultations, health information technology, and remote patient monitoring, are the pillars of the rapidly growing field of telehealth, also called connected health, mobile health, mHealth, eHealth. But none of these quality-improving and cost-saving technological applications would be possible without the reliable, real-time connectivity of a robust broadband infrastructure. Broadband facilitates delivery of healthcare by extending the reach of a limited resource of providers, thus increasing access to both care geographically and temporally in both acute care and chronic care situations. This connectivity allows patients and providers rapid access to the electronic health record and facilitates data sharing across providers. On a statewide level, the broadband infrastructure build between healthcare facilities is being spearheaded by OHN, the Oregon Health Network. But technologies like in-home monitoring require adequate last-mile connectivity to where people live, whether it be personal residences, skilled nursing facilities, or independent care facilities. As we struggle with an ever-mounting healthcare crisis, new efficiencies, cost savings, and improved outcomes are all possible with the application of these technologies. Realization of this potential is dependent on a strong broadband backbone. We therefore greatly support the goals and direction as laid out in this very forward-thinking proposal. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Casey?
Good afternoon, Madam President and Commissioners. My name is Casey Chama. I am the Executive Director of the Center for Intercultural Organizing. Before I start my testimony, first of all, I would like to thank the staff of the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise and Management for their support they provided us and constant engagement for the immigrant refugee community and people of color. I think the model and relationship that we build is one is based on mutual trust, relationship building, and commitment for equity. Having said that, I'm here today to represent the Diversity and Civic Leadership Project, which is a partnership between five community-based organizations serving for people of color, immigrant and immigrant refugee community. Those organizations include Urban League of Portland, Native American Youth and Family, Immigrant Refugee Community Organization, and Latina Network. Our organization started participating in this process on early in this infant. First, we started engaging through the Your Voice Communication Technology Initiative, which was launched by the Montour Cable Regulatory Commission. And later on, we also provided a feedback and collected surveys for the broadband adoption, where, as you heard before, both initiatives highlighted what we already knew. There's a disparity, and as we call, there's a digital divide in Portland. Let me give you an example. A white household in Portland's medium income is over $51,000. A black household medium income is $26,988, less than $27,000. As those initiatives show us, 50% of the households that make less than $30,000 do not have an internet connection. This clearly shows that there is a direct correlation between income gap and digital divide that Portland underrepresented communities experiencing. Later this summer, the Diversity and Civic Leadership Project partnered with the City of Portland's Office of Neighborhood Involvement and the Cable Regulatory Commission in order to ensure that immigrant refugees and people of color participate and provide feedback for the broadband strategy plan. The DCL partners collected individual surveys and provided a video contest that allow underrepresented community to provide their ideas and solutions for developing high-speed internet infrastructure for Portland that ensures equity for all. Let me share with you a quick video that will highlight some of the feedback that we received from the community.
I didn't have the internet. Actually, I don't have the internet right now, and it's pretty hard.
So he asked me, do I have high-speed internet at home? I don't know.
And I know I could talk to my dad when he was in Laos real easy on email. If she knew how to use Skype, it'd be a lot easier.
How will internet access enhance one's quality of life?
My daughter, she's going to, you know, she's kindergarten, so the school required to get on the internet.
The most important thing I use it for, I don't go to the doctor. I just, like, look up remedies online. So if I'm sick, before I get super sick, I'll try to figure out how to heal myself.
When it comes to quality of life, the internet is all about convenience.
Doing research is a lot easier for school projects, and quality of life is easier because you just have access to everything.
Some people, you really can't talk to them until like 10 o'clock at night online.
Why is it important to give feedback for the city's broadband strategy? As the national broadband plan is developed by the Federal Communications and Commissions, FCC, a state and local government, we must consider the question of inclusion. People of color and immigrant refugees face array of equity issues, including challenges of employment, education, affordable housing, lack of overall economic opportunity. We also know that the internet has become a part of the fabric of our society. As earlier has been said, just a child who doesn't have internet at home cannot do their homework and probably will be left behind in their schools. I think the importance of that, this opportunity as a city, will allow us, as we start this plan, engage and move forward, we really, really have an opportunity to think about equity. Instead of equity becoming afterthought, we're hoping this plan will be embedded throughout the process of equity. And as we also think about Portland's 20-year plan for infrastructure building, this is a unique opportunity that we can uplift people who are usually left behind. So I really, really encourage you to support this effort, and I think it will be an important milestone for Portland creating an inclusive community for all. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much. So our next panel represents industry, I believe, and we'll start with Chris. If you could just give us your name and your affiliation. And
Chris Denton with CenturyLink. I want to thank Madam Commissioner and the Commissioners for hearing me today. I did want to thank the city and the 50 business partners and community citizens who spent more than a year on this program talking about how important the future is of broadband in the Portland area. I think the plan highlights a lot of key goals and initiatives that the city wants to accomplish and move forward with over the next 20 years. And just like sustainability started with the city and the initiatives and talking about how important it is to the long-term sustainability of the region, I think broadband is in the same way. Reading through the plan and some of the key recommendations and strategies, there are four key highlights that stood out for me. I'm going to talk about four of those today. And the first one would be adoption, and then education, innovation, and then economic development. First with adoption, as we heard earlier today, one in five citizens in Portland does not use broadband in some capacity. Nationwide, that number is over 30%. We have a long ways to go. That adoption rate should be close to 100%. Some of the things that need to be done are talking about how important broadband is, making it imperative to, as we navigate through the city and the different functions of this organization and the different businesses, that utilizing broadband is vital to our success in the future, and that'll drive utilization from those who don't have it today. In addition to that, you have to have the service to go ahead and utilize that. And CenturyLink has committed to providing a low-cost broadband service to low-income families. This program will begin October 1st. It'll provide broadband service for $9.99 a month for those who meet the qualification. On top of that, for those who don't have the equipment to go online, we will provide discounted equipment for those families as well. It doesn't stop there. As we move forward, we talk about education, which is a big part of the broadband plan. Education starts K through 12. We talk about creativity. We talk about innovation. We talk about solving business problems. We start talking about public problems. And having that creativity and that initiative brought down into our educational programs. From there, we heard a little bit about the programs that we have in higher education and challenging those institutions with solving public problems, solving private problems, solving business problems, and solving growth. Along with this educational initiative, CenturyLink has also committed to implement education and training programs, distribute educational materials on the benefits of broadband, host in-person training and demonstrations, and create and distribute materials to assist consumers with basic literacy and adoption programs. Third, I want to talk about innovation. As we begin to develop a highly skilled workforce, that workforce will lead to innovation. We do that by getting clusters of groups together, whether it be general software clusters, as Skip talked about earlier. It could be engineering clusters. It could be healthcare clusters. It could be entertainment clusters or general technology clusters as well. By doing this, we foster creativity and innovation, which fosters job growth, sustainable growth, and also healthy wage growth in the Portland area. And lastly, the plan talks about economic development, and this would be the attraction of technology organizations throughout the United States and across the world to come into Portland to work with and innovate and create with the citizens that we have in our particular area here as well. CenturyLink has committed to be a partner to ensure any organization who has bandwidth needs and it wants to be competitive in a global marketplace that we will be here for them as well. In closing, utilization and demand drives investment. CenturyLink has spent millions of dollars over the last few years providing broadband investment to the city of Portland. CenturyLink is also committed to the city to be a partner in the development of high-capacity business districts, attraction of new companies to the area, adoption, and education. CenturyLink welcomes the inclusion of our organization to vet out specific initiatives to support the strategies outlined in the broadband plan and look forward to public and private partnerships that will meet the needs and goals of its citizens. I want to thank you very much.
Next.
Madam President and Commissioners, my name is Steve Anderson. I'm Vice President of State Operations for Integra Telecom. First of all, I want to apologize for Tom Casey asked me to extend his apologies to you guys. He's our CEO and based here in Portland, but he's out of town at a prior commitment. First, we want to recognize the thoroughness of planning that's been done and appreciate being asked to participate in this process, and we appreciate it a lot. As one of the largest employers in Portland with over 600 Portland-based employees, Integra has enjoyed the benefits of growth. Integra believes that product innovation, quality service, and lower prices are byproducts of competition. The city can make substantial progress toward their goal of having more of their citizens enjoying the benefits of broadband if they were to foster competition among private enterprise. By fostering competition, more competitors would be drawn to Portland, subsequently investing more capital, enhancing the local broadband network, while providing quality service at market rates. A critical element in fostering competition is to set a level playing field and treat all telecom providers, including wireless, the same, and then let the marketplace dictate the services and prices for the end users and businesses. The city should also be aware of at least two community-based telecoms, Utopia in Oregon and Burlington Telecom in Vermont, that have struggled financially, spending significant taxpayer funds. Utopia's over-optimistic projections resulted in costly fiber assets being sold to private companies at a fraction of the cost. Well, as a business, you know, most businesses would like to purchase assets on that basis, but we don't want to do that to the detriment of our community. Cities can have the best of intentions and build financial models that appear to work, but a success depends on achieving certain penetration rates and revenue targets. Innovation in telecom service technology is rapid, and user behavior changes quickly. In many ways, cities are forced to rely on a business model that may not be flexible enough to adapt to changes in technology and consumer behavior or have access to the necessary capital to innovate on their own. The city deserves credit for being proactive in seeking solutions for their citizens and as fellow citizens, as well as a locally headquartered company. We look forward to working with the city in our joint efforts together. Thank you.
Madam President, Commissioners, my name is Mark Farah, Regional Vice President of Government Affairs for Comcast here in Portland, and we appreciate the opportunity to also provide comments today. We certainly appreciate the effort that city staff and all the members of the work group have put into this effort over the past months. It's certainly a laudable effort and a laudable goal that we encourage the forward thinking, and we're encouraged that we'll be part of it going forward. I think the key message that as we read and distill the report is part of what you heard today in some of the presentations is it's all about adoption. Adoption, adoption, adoption. If there's one thing that the city can do, it's to talk about adoption, to talk about why broadband is important and relevant to the residents of Portland. We see that the city of Portland has a relationship deep into the neighborhoods with the residents of Portland that, frankly, probably no one else has. And the city's in a special place to talk about why adoption of broadband on an individual basis or even on a business basis, there was talk about small business, is a key thing that the city can do to actually make a difference here in Portland. So if there's one thing that I hope the commissioners take from the report, it's all about adoption, and there are specific things that the city can do to actually raise the rate of adoption for broadband here in the community. And we hope that the city will look forward to continuing efforts down that road. It's great to hear that the city is going to lead by example and put more of its interactions online. That's a build it and they will come type mentality that I think you'll see the fruits of your labor to come to fruition over the years to come. There was mention of CenturyLink's program to get adoption up through their low-cost internet access plan. Comcast as well just announced their Internet Essentials plan that we are rolling out. That's a $9.95 internet package for low-income families that qualify through participation in the free lunch program. And so we're doing our effort to get the word out that members of this community can have access to $9.95 very high-speed internet tomorrow, frankly. So the good news with respect to broadband that we also found in this report is that when we hear about Representative Frederick talking about it being available, is it's available. Broadband is not only available in this community, but it's readily available in immense proportions. Whether it's from one of the companies here at the table or Comcast, companies to my left or Comcast, we know that there's plenty of broadband available in this community in neighborhoods for businesses, and it's really a matter of supply and demand, not necessarily needing to increase the supply, but going back to that adoption, let's talk about adoption so we can increase the demand. We know that tomorrow, any resident of the city of Portland could get 100 megabit per second speed at their home from Comcast. Speed is not a question, and for businesses, we know that the capacity is there to get multiple gigabit per second speed for businesses in the community. I think the other companies here could provide that. So the good news is that Portland is not falling behind. There's no deficit of broadband. There's no crisis. Now let's look into the future. What can we do to continue to move forward? I think these companies are going to continue to invest. I know Comcast is. So one other item that I did want to mention, I would urge caution around the dig once policy in other communities. There have been a lot of pitfalls that folks have encountered. So I hope that the providers are going to be brought into the discussions as part of developing that dig once plan if it moves forward, because we want to avoid the pitfalls that other communities have experienced. Lastly, as we continue to move forward, we just ask just that, to be brought in to the discussions while they're happening. We certainly want to be part of the development process because we think we have a lot to offer in the dialogue, and we'd much rather be involved and help avoid the pitfalls than have to raise our hand later in the process and say, hey, did you think about this? So congratulations on getting to this point, and this is where the real work begins. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Alder. Do you have a question?
I did have one. Integra Telecom, you mentioned that one of the ways to create more access to broadband was to have the city do something to increase competitiveness. And one of the examples you used was doing something to put you on equal footing with cell phone companies. Were you talking about the franchise fee?
Yes, that's one of the areas, yes.
What are the others? So the 5% franchise fee that you're required to pay that they aren't?
Yeah, equal franchise fees for providers in the Portland area, yes.
Other areas besides that that would increase?
That's the primary one, yeah, okay. Yes.
Thanks. Thank you all.
Thank you.
I believe our last panel is, or last presenter, Chief John Klum. And am I leaving? I don't have my agenda in front of me, Mary Beth or Brendan. Who am I leaving out? Mark Grinke? Okay. I'm on Mark Grinke. Welcome. Chief?
My name is Mark Grinke. I'm the city's chief technology officer. I want to actually recognize the great work we do with the cable office today. We're experienced broadband providers. We provide broadband service in the community today to over 250 libraries, schools, and community centers. And I'm just wanted to voice my support for the work that's been done. I've enjoyed working on the plan, and I think it's the goals that the city should support.
John Klum, Fire Chief. Anyways, I just want to express my appreciation for being involved with the process. The public safety aspects of broadband are of great importance to us, not only just for our operational readiness with our crews to deliver critical information in a very fast fashion, but it also the adoption component is critical for our community outreach to help us in our diversification of our workforce, because it was said earlier in the videotapes is that if they don't have access to and internet, a lot of our messaging that we're pushing out through our social media and our website is not getting to that particular audience that we're trying to get the information out. So it was a very good process. It was an inclusive process, and I really appreciate being a part of it. Thank you.
That completes our invited testimony.
Thank you. Did anybody sign up to testify?
Yes, we have three people signed up. Come on up, Andy Frazier, Rob Wilcox, and Matthew Klug, I believe it is.
Welcome to City Council. You'll have 3 minutes to testify. Just give your name, and the clock in front of you counts down to 3 minutes. Mr. Frazier, would you like to start?
I actually think I was invited.
Oh, my mistake.
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't have an agenda.
I'm here on behalf, Andy Frazier, on behalf of the Small Business Advisory Council. I have a letter that will go around to you guys as well. The Small Business Advisory Council would like to show our support for the broadband strategic plan. Over the course of the last year, members of SBAC have been active participants of this plan, meeting with the city and industry professionals. The members of SBAC recognize the benefits of adopting a citywide broadband strategy, specifically for the city's efforts in regards to education and economic development. It is our understanding that this is a 30,000-foot look at the various options and ideas regarding broadband in Portland, and the conclusion of this look is that broadband does and will play an increasingly important role in our everyday lives. We support the overall concept and the conclusion that was stated. The business community and industry professionals look forward to working with the city to determine the best course of action to further this plan and determine the best use of taxpayer dollars and other resources. We believe that industry leaders, city leaders, and citizen leaders have an opportunity to rally behind this issue to ensure our short and long-term goals are met. From the questions surrounding installation of wireless facilities and hardline installations to the factors needed to ensure progress towards the goals of equity, economic development, public safety, and education. I think the work is just beginning, and we look forward to participating in that process.
Well, thank you for your service on the committees and for SBAC's ongoing service.
Thank you.
I'm Robert Wilcox. Commissioners, thanks for the opportunity to speak on this. I read the plan. I think it's an excellent plan, and I have a written statement that you can read offline. But I want to say that as we go forward, building measurements into the program is critical. And unlike so many things that are hard to measure in government programs and in the world, the networks actually have built-in measurement systems. So I'm hoping that the city, working together with the private industry, can figure out a way to share that information to evolve the program as it proceeds. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam President and Commissioners,
thank you.
My name is Matthew Klug. I was born and raised in Portland. I've been thinking about this for 10 years.
and working with personaltelco.net and some other volunteer groups to try to bring internet and high-speed internet to everyone in Portland. Now, over the 10 years, I think that there have been many different studies and models, and today there are actually, believe it or not, a couple going forward. Google is in Kansas City, Kansas. I think we should listen to them. Instead of digging and doing some stuff first, let's kind of wait. Chattanooga, Tennessee has a network already up. It's called EPB. They own it. They are selling TV, phone, internet, and all sorts of other services. The city themselves owns the net. Sandy, Oregon has Sandy.net. They're building today. We should look at them. Seattle is doing an experiment around Pioneer Square. We should look at them. It's right up the street. I encourage the name change of the office to reflect what it should be doing instead of concentrating on the franchise, incumbent players. It should be looking out for the citizens. And what Lou was talking about was FTTH or FTTP, fiber to the home, fiber to the premise. This is not what these other people are talking about. I think like Leslie and some other people would enjoy the idea of having potential student learners being able to take classes from their homes. That is a huge potential for PSU, PCC, U of O, OSU, PSU, Southern Oregon, all sorts of other places. And basically, there's another experiment happening right now in Canada, Lake Ontario, and Toronto is doing a similar thing with fiber to the premises. We need to, you know, talk to these other technology officers. The chief technology officer in Seattle has incredible videos on the internet. They're very explanatory, and they're taking a very measured, slow approach. The mayor doesn't want to get left out in the cold on this. He's taking a very slow, measured approach. They're doing a trial in Pioneer Square. There's a lot of tech companies down there that need it, and it's an experiment we should look at. And the idea that I don't have a TV, so the idea that I would get Comcast is kind of silly to me. I enjoy the idea of perhaps pushing a la carte pricing in cable. I know I'm the pry in the room now, but you know, the contracts are ridiculous. I brought my little Wi-Fi thing, or excuse me, my WiMAX clear router today because if I move, I can take it with me. I can't just easily disconnect cable and reconnect it. So I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Mr. Cloak, thank you for you and Russell Sr. and others who've worked so hard on the telco project, the personal telco, and for your testimony today. Does anybody else want to testify? Thank you all for being here. Please call the vote on the resolution.
Saltzman.
Well, as you can see, a lot of work has gone into connecting our future, or connecting to our future, I should say, our broadband strategic plan, and much more work remains to be done to come up with action strategies, action plans to implement these strategies. I appreciate all the various interests that have worked together to bring us here. The some 50-odd people who participated in the various subcommittees. And I also wanted to particularly, again, acknowledge the great work of my chief of staff, Brendan Finn, Mark Grinke, our chief technology officer, Mary Beth Henry, deputy director of the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management, and all the staff of the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management and the public. So we look forward to the work ahead and the challenges ahead to make our city truly, I think as somebody might have remarked, I'm probably stealing their lines, but we hope that that we can be, Portland can be known for its broadband strategies and accessibility and affordability as much as we are known for as we've worked to become known for our track record in sustainability and doing things green, and we think that's the goal we're shooting for. Aye.
Leonard?
This is an excellent plan. I appreciate you bringing it forward, Commissioner Saltzman. I do think, however, one of the things that was testified to that has long been of interest to me is a disparity in the treatment between cell phone companies and those who provide landline service. Cell phone companies don't pay the franchise fee that landline services do, and that creates an inherent lack of competitiveness that I think was addressed that I think the council needs to address at some point in the future. That also would provide, I think, what's needed that's not in the plan now, but at some point we have to address the issue of revenue and how to best use revenue to, if not extend broadband services to some of the poorest communities, provide the support that those in those houses can't afford now to spend to get that broadband service. So maybe this revenue could not only level the playing field for the companies, but provide a resource to help the poor communities actually access broadband that may be available right in front of their house. Thank you. Aye.
Fish.
Well, congratulations to the leadership team and to Dan, you and Brendan Finn and your whole team for bringing us to this point, and to the Bureau staff. This is a outstanding document. I think for the whole council, this has been a very useful discussion about the roadmap that you're charting for the future. I want to thank Sonia Szymanski on my team, who was part of the leadership team and was delighted to participate. And looking forward, I look forward to the regular check-ins on our progress, and particularly the progress at getting at the equity piece you've identified, the digital divide, which I think we must narrow dramatically if we are to involve all of our citizens in our economy and in our civic life. Aye.
Fritz. Well, it was my honor to agree to initiate this plan when I was the commissioner in charge of the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management, when Director David Olson and Deputy Director Mary Beth Henry brought the concept to me. I appreciate particularly the partnership with Comcast that donated money so that we could do outreach to our diverse civic leadership partners through the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and include the community inclusively in the development of the plan. In order to be able to address any kind of divide and inequity, we need to include those who are most affected in the planning for how to resolve the problems. So similar to our discussion on housing this morning, this is another example of our Bureau taking the initiative to address a perceived problem with disparities in our city, and I greatly appreciate the work that's been done. Thank Tim Crail and my staff for leading the project for us, and also Jerry Williams in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, and the Portland Community Media folks who helped with outreach to the diverse civic leadership groups and others. Certainly commend Commissioner Saltzman and Brendan Finn for taking up the stop it.
Fish, Fritz, and Finn. Now we've added to the woes. Good thing the mayor's not here.
I noticed the resemblance.
We'll just call him the chief enthusiast, Brendan Finn. I think that's a very good term for him for this particular project, and also Skip Newbury in the mayor's office. It's another example of city staff recognizing that collectively we have a problem and then working with industry partners, small businesses, and others to discuss collectively how are we going to address that problem. I do notice that in the ordinance it calls out a few bureaus. I would offer the services of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and the soon-to-be-formed Office of Equity and Human Rights in continuing to participate on this plan to inform and guide and assist with outreach to other communities, to all of our communities. This is a prudent plan for tough times. And I certainly heard the disappointment from some that we are not embarking on our own fiber network project or some of the other more ambitious plans that have been looked at in the past. We don't have the money for that right now. And we still recognize that this is a priority to get it done. So this is particularly what I like about this plan, is it recognizes that we don't have the money right now to implement what some would think is the optimal solution or the one that would get us the furthest in the long run, but it looks at in the short term, what are we going to do and how far can we get with these, looking at these goals. I like the way this plan sets the goals and then is going to come back with more action items and continue to work. So this is the end of the beginning. It's not the end, and we will appreciate the ongoing partnership with the industry folks, with the neighborhood folks and others to make sure that just as well as we have started doing this together and with the enthusiasm of the entire council, that we continue to partner to achieve the outcomes that are desired in this plan. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. Aye. With that, we're going to take a 5-minute recess, and then we'll come back for the 3 o'clock time session. Time starting.